Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, Philippians 4, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1260. I'll be reading responsively the first eight verses, with the eighth verse being the text verse for this evening's message. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and page 1260. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray. And Father, you've given us another opportunity. We're fortunate to have all the opportunities that we have, to be situated where we are, to be in the presence of such a great crowd of people who love thee and who want to serve thee, and likewise to be here in the presence of a man of God to whom you've spoken, who will in turn speak to us. It's such a privilege. Help us not to take our privileges lightly. Give us carefulness to hear and to do all that you have in mind for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, how I keep positive. How I keep positive. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that some of the secrets that I've learned, and yet not secrets either, some of the things I've learned through the years will be transferred to these dear people so we can obey Thee concerning our thought life. Bless the message tonight. Make it thought-provoking and life-changing to many of us. Amen. As I travel around the country, because I've been under the fire for so long, preachers look at me like they look at a corpse as I see me. They say, you look so natural. And they meet me at the airport and they expect to see me frowning and crying as I get off the airplane. I get off and I smile and say, hey, how are things going? And they'll say, you look pretty good. And I always say good looking is a better way to word it, but you word it like you want to, but occasionally somebody will say, well, you look so natural. What they mean is you look like you always did. And one fellow met me out in California one time. He said, you look so natural. I said, yes, my undertaker did a wonderful job. But I want to share tonight with you how I look so natural and how I keep positive. Now, I'm like you. I have moments that I'm not as high as I am on other moments. Depends on what I've been drinking or taking. But I'm not saying that I'm always on the top side of everything, but I am saying this. I work at being on the top side of everything all the time. And if I didn't, I wouldn't be on the top side. The psalmist said, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the word. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." The psalmist said in Psalm 77:12, "I will meditate also of thy work." In Psalm 119 and verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts." In Psalm 119, verse 78, "I will meditate in thy precepts." In Psalm 119, verse 48, "I will meditate in thy statutes." In Psalm 19 and verse 4, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." In Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12, we have a mention of an unusual thing. God was talking to his people, especially to his priests and prophets, and God said, "You have a chamber of your imagery." He called it chamber of your imagery. He's talking about a certain place tucked away that God's people and some of God's men had a secret place where they had things that should not be there. Nobody knew where this place was, and nobody but each particular man knew what was in the chamber of his imagery. Now, you have a chamber of your imagery. That little place down inside of you where nobody ever goes but you. Your wife never goes there. Your husband never sees that chamber. Your children never see that chamber. Your best friends do not see that chamber. That's your thought life. And how the outside of that chamber looks is not what you really are. And what the furniture in that, the other rooms in that house, they're not really what you really are. You are what you think. And as you think, so are you. As a man, or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, my text. Whatsoever things are true, you're supposed to think on. Whatsoever things are true. Now, I'm not talking about evil thoughts. I'm talking about thoughts that enter into your mind. There are several things here that are supposed to limit or build a fence around our thought lives. And I'll guarantee you this. There are people in this room tonight. Listen to me now. There are folks in this room tonight who never have an evil thought but think about evil thoughts. You never do anything real evil, but you talk about folks that do real evil and think about folks that do real evil, and you are coming inside the boundaries of the Scripture here tonight. He says, think on these things. Dear God, what am I supposed to think? He said, in the first place, you're only supposed to think about things that are true. Did you hear me? If it's not true, you're not supposed to think about it. Did you hear so-and-so? You're not supposed to think about that. Whatsoever things are true. And this is a command. This is a command like, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess is a command. This is a command like, thou shalt not steal is a command. This is a command like, thou shalt not commit adultery is a command. This is a command like, thou shalt not kill is a command. God commands us to think only about things that are true. Now, unless you know something's true, I'm not talking about gossip. I'm talking about thinking about it. If you don't think about it, you won't talk about it. You won't speak about what you don't think about. Most of us don't speak without thinking. Only preachers do that. But I'm saying, if you think right, you will talk right. If you want to talk right, you'll have to think right. And God commands us not to think about anything that is not true. He said, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true. Now, he's gonna narrow it down. And I'm going to let this big circle right here represent whatsoever things are true. But he narrows it down. He said, whatsoever things are honest. He said, not all truth are you supposed to think about. He said, narrow it down and only think about honest truth. You listening to me? Only honest truth. That word honest is the word that we would pronounce august or high. Only high truth. Not bad truth, but good truth. So God said, first thing I want you to do, I want you to think only about things that are true. Now listen to me. If you don't get your thought life straightened out, you're going to be in a mess the rest of your life. A long time before you ever do wrong, you think wrong. And I'm not talking now about plotting wrong. I'm not talking about looking at some member of the opposite sex and having an evil thought. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about thinking about those who have done things like that. You're not supposed to occupy your minds with things, first, that aren't true. So if something is not true and you don't know it's true, you're not supposed to think about it. And then you're supposed to narrow it down to only high, lofty truth. Get your mind out of the gutter. Get your mind out of the base things. And he said, only august truth. Now then, we've limited down. We've got truth and then honest truth. Then he said, whatsoever things are just. He said, limit your thought life to just, honest truth. He narrows it again. He said, whatsoever things are pure. Now, if you know somebody that ran off with somebody else's wife, you're not supposed to think about that. That's truth, but it is not pure truth. See? So, you're supposed to think about that. If you know somebody that's a homosexual, and you know, you're not supposed to think about that. No, you're supposed to think about truth, and that's the big, and then narrow it down to honest truth, and then narrow it down to just truth, and then narrow it down to pure, just, honest truth. Ladies and gentlemen, our lives are so torn by our thought life. And again, I'm not talking about lusting thought. I'm talking about we think about lusters. And so, then he said, that isn't all. He said, think about only that which is true. Then he said, limit that truth to honest truth. Then limit that honest truth to just truth. Then limit that just truth to pure truth. And then he said, whatsoever things are lovely. And the word lovely there means loving. You're supposed to think loving thoughts and not bad thoughts, not negative thoughts, not unkind thoughts. Whatsoever things are loving. Now listen. We are not supposed to occupy our minds with thoughts that aren't loving thoughts. We true, yes, but narrower than that. Honest truth, but narrower than that. Just honest truth, but narrower than that. Pure, just, honest truth, but narrower than that. Loving, pure, just, honest truth. But I go down further than that. He said, whatsoever things are of a good report. Now we're going to narrow it down again. Only good reports. Are you listening to me? I'm not talking about gossip tonight. I'm talking about thinking. I'm talking about your dwelling in your mind on bad reports. Did you know that so-and-so did this? I'm not talking about talking. I'm talking about thinking it. I'm not trying to clean your tongue up tonight. I'm trying to clean your mind up. You see, you're not supposed to think about bad reports. You're not supposed to think about a fellow who beat his wife. Well, that's not a bad report. But you're not supposed to think about that. You're supposed to think, not supposed to think about bad reports. Now, what does it mean? It means not supposed to think about negatives. Not supposed to think about people in trouble. Not supposed to think about that you thought. Now, I'm not saying anybody can perfectly accomplish this, but I'm saying everybody can perfectly try to accomplish this. Now, the truth is, listen to me, I'm not supposed to think, and that's one reason why I'm on top side most of the time. That's one reason why I'm positive most of the time. I discipline my mind. I try to keep my mind from thinking about things that aren't true. I try to keep my... And there's so many things that are true. I said to a preacher the other day, he said, oh, Brother Hiles, he said, you've been going through some real trials, haven't you? I said, have you heard about the big day we had? He said, what big day? I said, 5,195 folks got saved. He said, good. Good? Heaven rejoices over one. They have a Baptist revival up there when one gets saved. I expect they're still shouting over March 18. Now, I'm supposed to think about things that are of a good report, okay? Things that are true, but not all truth. I'm to limit that truth to honest truth. But not all honest truth. I'm to limit that to just honest truth. But not just honest truth, pure just honest truth. But not just pure just honest truth, but loving pure just honest truth. And not just loving pure just honest truth, but pure just honest truth that is of a good report. But not just pure just a loving honest truth that is of a good report, but it goes on and it says virtue. If there be any virtue or any praise, that means I'm only supposed to think about things that bring virtue or do good to somebody else. You know what I do? I spend my entire life looking. I'm constantly searching. I'll have this. P.A.M.N. P.A.M.N. I spend my entire life searching. What are you searching for? I'm searching for truth.
What truth you're searching for? I'm searching for truths that'll help my people. I'm always doing it. That little sermon I preached this morning, I got that from one line, one little statement that I read somewhere. Just in an airport. I was in an airport, I saw a bookstore. I walked in the bookstore. See, if there's anything in the world I might be interested in buying. I saw one little book that I thought I might be interested in buying. I read the whole book and got one little line out of it. And from that line I said, my people need that. And I'm constantly searching. Now, I'm not searching for garbage. I'm not searching trying to destroy somebody. I'm not searching for bad reports. I'm not searching for something that'll hurt somebody. If I know somebody ought to be hurt, I'll let him hurt him. That's not my business. Vengeance is his, not mine. I'm searching for truth. I'm searching for honest truth. I'm searching for pure, honest truth. I'm searching for the loving, pure, honest truth. I'm searching for honest, pure, loving truth that's of a good report. I'm searching for loving, honest, good truth that brings virtue. It brings help. It brings encouragement. That's my life. My life is to walk in this pulpit every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and feed your soul. If I feed your soul, I've got to be back in the kitchen stirring up some things every once in a while. And that's my life. And so I cannot think about these other things. I cannot allow myself to think about somebody who did so-and-so, or somebody was found so-and-so, or some girl got pregnant. Unless somebody comes to me and needs some help, I don't think about things like that. Ever, ever, ever. I work on it all the time. Why? Because you don't need me to walk in this pulpit on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, having thought about things that aren't true all week long, and having thought about things that aren't honest all week long, and having thought about things that aren't pure all week long, having thought about things that aren't just all week long, having thought about things that are not a good report all week long. You need somebody to walk through that door on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, who bounces in here and says, bless God, I got something to tell you, and it's going to help you, it's going to strengthen you, and I can't do that unless I keep this mind obeying Philippians 4:8. Goes on further. It says virtue and it says praise. I'm only supposed to think about things that lead me to praise God. Now you listen to me. I'm not talking tonight. God is not telling me tonight, only telling me not to have wicked thoughts. He's telling me not to have thoughts of wickedness. Hear me again. God is not telling me tonight only not to have wicked thoughts. God is telling me not to have thoughts of wickedness. Not only am I not to think wicked thoughts myself, but I'm not to think thoughts about you if you do wickedness. When I think about people that, I think about people that have some wrong in their lives, I suppose think about the right in their lives. Good report. If I think of somebody that one day, listen, a guy can live, or a woman can live an entire life and live in the will of God and serve God and do good, and then for 5 minutes make a mistake, and the whole nation will yak about that mistake, and a whole life is not mentioned. Now I'm going to think about the rest of the life. I'm not going to think. A man came to Friday. I was in Los Angeles preaching. Man walked up to me, 60 years of age. He's messed his life up. And not when I say that, you think about one sin. It was not that sin, but he messed his life up. He's out of the pastorate. Now, when I left him, from that moment to this, except this illustration, it's not entered my mind he messed his life up. I've been trying to think ever since then how I can piece his life back together. And I told him, if you'll come to Hammond, anytime you come to Hammond, I'll give you 4 or 5 hours. I'll clear the deck. I'll give you 4 or 5 hours. I'll try to piece your life together. Now, what am I thinking about right now? I'm thinking about how to piece his life together. I'm not thinking about what got him in the mess he's in. Why? Because I'm supposed to think about good reports. What sort of things are just? What sort of things are honest? And I guarantee, I'm not trying to get you to help me tonight, because I'm not trying to get you to, I'm not talking about your talk, I'm talking about your thinking. You are going to be what you think. Now, your body is going to be what you eat, but your soul and your spirit will be what you think. You're going to be just as good a Christian as your thought life. You're going to be just as good a servant of God as your thought life. You're going to be just as effective for God as is your thought life. If you don't get your thought life straightened up, you're not going to be happy, and you're not going to make others happy, and you're not going to be useful. And that's why God said, whatsoever things are true and honest truth and just honest truth. And pure, just, honest truth. And loving, pure, just, honest truth. And a good report of loving, pure, just, honest truth. And virtue of loving, a good report and loving, pure, just, honest truth. And praise. Think about praise. Think about a good report. Think about justice. Think about purity. Listen. I was in a certain city out east. I'd been there to the same church before. Listen to me. Same church before. I've been there on two occasions at the same church. Another pastor was there then. New pastor came. About 2 years later, I went out to... In fact, I had a schedule to go, and I did something I hardly ever do. I transferred the engagement to the same pastor, a different pastor, same church. When a church changes pastors, I usually cancel out and go somewhere else. But I went ahead because I knew the pastor. I got out to the airport. I won't tell you what town it is. Got to the airport. Pastor met me at the airport. New pastor. Got in the car, sitting right there in front of the airport, before we even the car started moving. He said, I guess you want to know why my predecessor left, don't you? I said, no. No? No, uh-uh. You say, preacher, don't you have the inquiring minds want to know? Decent minds don't want to know. I said, no, I don't want to know. Oh, he said, don't misunderstand me. I'm going to tell you really what happened. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Well, he said, you ought to know. I know the truth. You ought to know the truth before somebody gets some error to you. And I use this verse right here. I said, I'm only going to listen to good reports. Not bad reports. I don't want to know why he left. But he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You're my guest, and I'm going to tell you. I opened the door to the car, got my suitcase, took off for the airplane. Where are you going? I said, back home. He said, why? I said, didn't come to hear bad reports, came to tell good reports. He said, okay. He said, you're going to find out before you leave. I said, want to bet? I was there 2 days. 17 people tried to tell me what happened to that pastor. I don't know yet. I don't want to know! Why in the name of common sense can't we think about things that are good? Pick up your dirty newspaper and you'll find a picture of your mind. Everybody wants to know what's bad. Fires and wrecks and rapes and murders and incest. You know, there was a day when the newspapers of America told who was visiting from out of town for the weekend. That used to be news. John and Agnes Peabody are here from Biloxi, Mississippi. And they're visiting Mrs. Peabody's son and daughter-in-law. And they're going to be here for several days. That used to be the news. It didn't used to be. Fires and rapes and adultery and filth and drunkenness and dope. It didn't used to be that. Why? Because we didn't used to think like that. That's why. You pick up the local newspaper and you'll find your mind is there. You want to hear some bad report. I was out east again. Another state. Pastor of the largest fundamental church out there had gotten in some kind of trouble. And very well known man. I called his name. 10% of you folks tonight in this room would know it. And he'd resigned his church. And a pastor met me at the airport and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, did you hear about the certain pastor, the largest church in the state? I said, no. He said, he's in trouble. I said, how's your church doing? He said, well, he had to resign his church. I said, isn't God wonderful? He said, let me tell you what it is. I said, let me tell you 100 men I know who had a bunch of souls saved yesterday. Let me tell you about the bunch of men who didn't resign their church yesterday. Let me tell you about, and I didn't make this list. I started listening. Let me tell you about Jack Traver and the good day he had yesterday. Let me tell you about R.B. Ouellette and the good day he had. Let me tell you about Wayne Cowling and the good day he had. I'm simply saying, if you want to go ahead and get excited and intrigued by bad reports, that's up to you. But you're filling your mind with something that'll never leave your mind. I still don't know. I was there for 2 days. I still don't know why that pastor had to leave. They still don't know. Don't want to know. If you know, don't tell me. And if you know, you shouldn't know. The truth is, I have a dear friend in Texas, pastored a large church there. He called me. He resigned his church. And one pastor tried to tell me what it was. I wouldn't listen. This guy called me the other day and wanted to talk to me after 2 or 3 years of having been gone from his church. And he said, "Brother Hiles, I want to ask you for some help." I said, "I'll call him Joe." I said, "Joe, be glad to help you." And he said, "I guess you know what happened to me." I said, "No." "Why," he said, "the whole country does." I said, "No, whole country except one does." "I don't know." "Well, haven't folks told you?" "They tried to, but I didn't listen to them." "Why?" "Because I'm commanded by God to only think of those things that are true and honest truth and just honest truth and pure just honest truth and lovely pure just honest truth and a good report of lovely pure just honest truth and virtuous good report of lovely pure just honest truth and praise. I'm to think about those things, and by cracky, so are you." By the way, that fellow I mentioned a while ago, who had left his church 2 years ago, and the pastor told me he was going to tell me when I decided to go back to the airport. And the guy told me, he said, "Come on back and preach for me." "I won't tell you." I said, "No, you won't." I got a call from that fellow about a year later. He needed help. Wanted to get back in the ministry. He called me and said, "Dr. Hiles, I heard what you said to my successor. I heard what you said about me all across the country." He said, "As far as I know, you're the only preacher friend I have." That is an indictment against the ministry. And I hate to say this tonight because I hardly ever say anything bad about preachers. But I'll be honest with you, I think preachers are probably worse than lay people are about this. That's why I don't go out and eat after the service at night. Say, "Don't you believe in eating after church?" I eat after church in my room. But I don't go out and eat. No, sir. No, sir. I'm sick and tired of bad reports. I'm commanded. And I'm not talking about thinking. I am not supposed to think about what is not true, what is not honest, what is not just, what is not pure, what is not lovely, what is not a good report, what is not virtuous, and what is not a praise. I am commanded by my God, and so are you, not to think about anything else but that. That's the boundaries of our thought life. Now, listen carefully. Why? Don't miss this. I was in Los Angeles with my good friend Jim Black, one of our graduates, building a wonderful work. His people had given him a computer. I don't like them. They're spooky. I don't want to be around them. They're too human. And I don't. We don't have a computer here at this church. Now the college has gone into sin. They have some. The high school has departed into iniquity and apostasy, and they have some. We don't have one. People are amazed. "What? How do you keep your records?" "Well, we get a pen and write down what everybody gave." But Jim Black took me in his office. He said, "Look here," and he typed the word faith on that little deal. And all of a sudden, that crazy thing started telling us every scripture in the Bible had the word faith in it. I said, "Man, I've got to preach in a few. I got to get out of here. No way. But he said, "Look," he said, "that it's so much faster." I said, "I'm slow." But he said, "Every word." I said, "I got a Cruden's Concordance. Not the same thing. I mean, I'm not against computers. Just don't bother me with them. It boggles my mind when I can be out in Grand Junction, Colorado, and they punch that little thing. And in seconds, a message goes through the air some way. I tried to track it down, but I couldn't. I lost track of it. And within seconds, it goes all the way to Chicago. And then the answer comes back from Chicago. I don't like that. No way. I don't like that. But you see, here's the thing about it. If you push that word faith, and you'll get that same thing every time. You know why? Because that's what was put in that computer. Now you listen to me carefully. The reason that you ought not to think about things that are negative is because the thoughts that you have never leave your brain. Never. Never. Never leave your brain. That negative thought you have in your mind will never leave. It, and by the way, it will come out. when the right buttons are pushed. Why, you hear me preach up here, all of a sudden I'll say, make a statement or say a word, and I'll say, hey, that reminds me. Well, that's this computer right here. It reminds me. And that's why I've got to feel, look, I'm not gonna be around negative people all week, hear bad reports all week, and then come to church here and be on top side. And I think you know this is true. My optimism behind this pulpit is genuine. It's genuine. I mean, there's no putting on up here about my being on the top side. Well, you say, how do you stay on top side? Because I don't know all the stuff in my mind. I have not placed in the computer, call my mind, a bunch of negative things. And the truth is, most any 16-year-old girl tonight knows more negative things and bad things that folks have done than the preacher knows. And that's one reason why you're blue all the time and depressed all the time. And by the way, you're disobeying God, too. Because He commanded you not to think about anything except inside the boundaries of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And you're not right with God if you're doing it. It'll come out. When I speak, brother, up here, I've got time to think. You heard about the fella. His brain got bad. He took it down to the brain repair shop. And the fella said, hey, in 3 weeks I can have it ready. He said, I'll come back and get it, my brain, in 3 weeks. He didn't come back in 3 weeks. 4 weeks passed. He didn't come back. 2 months passed. Never came back. The man at the brain repair shop called this fellow and said, look, I got your brain already. Why don't you come and claim it? He said, won't be needing it. I've been called to preach. You're thinking about negative reports right now. But I'm saying, the truth is, I haven't got time when I'm preaching up here to deliberately stop and say, I better say this, better say this. But I haven't got time for that. I am going to say what comes in my mind, and what nothing is going to come in my mind that I have not put in my mind. And if I have not put negatives in my mind, negatives will not come out of my mind. And bless God, I am going to do all I can to obey Philippians 4:8 and only put positive things in my computer, and pure things in my computer, and honest things in my computer, and true things in my computer, and just things in my computer, and virtuous things in my computer, and good reports in my computer, and praises to God in my computer. And that's what's going to come out when I stand up here and preach. I'll tell you another thing too. If you'd heed what this Philippians 4:8 says, what this preacher's preaching tonight, I'll guarantee you could save yourself doctor bills with thousands. You could save yourself nervous breakdowns. You could save yourself depression. You could save yourself taking ha-ha pills and hoo-hoo pills and whoopee pills and glory-to-God pills. You could just get the old gospel and think on things that are pure and think on things that are right and think on things that are holy. You can do it, and you can. Now, nobody's going to always do it, but by the way, you can always try to do it. Every thought I have is there to stay. That scares the fire out of me. No thought ever leaves. It's in there. It's in there. If man can make one little thing about that big, has the whole Bible on it, don't you think God can make a thing that big that keeps everything you've ever thought? Every thought you've ever had is still up there. No thought ever leaves. By the way, no word you say ever stops either. Did you know every word you've ever said is still floating around up there somewhere? Yeah, I guess so. Luke 19:40, if these would hold their peace, these stones would cry out. The Savior said. They say, honest to Pete, they say that the day is going to come, if our Lord tarries, when there's a certain thing we can do to the very stones on the Mount of Olives that can cause us to play what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we can hear His words. Think about that. Wouldn't you like for me to get up and say, folks, we have a tape ministry here. We now have a stone ministry. If you're interested in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, go room to the fellowship hall after the service. For $75,000, we'll sell you a copy of that stone. I mean, every word. Listen. I get on the airplane. This boggles my mind. I get on the airplane. We're flying 600 miles an hour, 38,000 feet in the air in a great old big flying boxcar. I pick up the telephone. No wires to it. None. I call Ms. McKinney, the office here. I call my daughter Becky. I call her every day. I call my daughter Becky. It's more, I mean, you know why? I say something in that thing and it gets up there. And I mean, before I finish saying it, it's already in her ear. Why don't we all go crazy? I mean, every single word you have ever said is still up there. It's been recorded. That isn't all. Every scene of your life is still up there somewhere. There are pictures all up there floating around. Don't you hope nobody ever gets your channel. But they're up there. Up there. Well, I was up in Alaska not long ago, and the pastor there has a television station and also a radio station, church does. And he said, if we can just get a certain thing, we can pick up those things up there right now. I mean, there's a football game up there right now going on 5,000 miles away. I'm saying what you say, every word you ever said, is still floating around in the air. And every scene of your life is still floating around in the air. And every thought your mind has ever had is still recorded. Now watch it. Be careful. And you said with the house? By the way, let me say this. They say that they're perfecting now a way to take your picture where you were. I mean, you sit somewhere and you leave and go somewhere else, and somebody can come back where you were sitting and you're not there if they can take your picture. I'm about to lose my mind. Now you sit for the house. What do you do? Now listen to me. By the way, I'd give anything in the world if for one time you'd listen to what I'm saying and try to practice what I preach. I'd love it. Just one time before you die, you ought to take one sermon, choose one particular sermon, and say, that's the one I'm going to try to do. I'd settle for one for some of you. But this will do more for you than anything else in the whole world. Now, what do I do? Number one, I must be careful that what I think, because no thought can be erased. So, number one, I try not to be around negative people. You say, so that's why you couldn't spend very much time with me the other day. Yep. Let me tell you what I love. I was out with Jim Black. I mentioned it. Now everybody in the country knows I've been fighting, been fought. Everybody knows that. Jim Black, in the 2 days I was out there, never said one thing about the battle. He except one sentence. Brother Hiles, I love you. How are you holding up? That's all he said. And the rest of the time, we talked about God's work. He asked me questions about his church. I gave him advice about his auditorium and about his organization and about hiring new staff members and about setting up. And I gave him a challenge to build the biggest church in Southern California. And I'll tell you what, when he said goodbye to me Friday night, I've been there for a couple of days, he looked at me and he said, boy, I'm so excited. He said, this has been one of the most wonderful days in my whole life. You know why? Because we thought about things that were true and holy and pure and lovely and a good report and praise God. That's why. That's why. There's some preachers I know in America, if they send somebody else to the airport to get me, I praise God when I see them. I know some preachers in America that I have an outline of things that I want to talk about when they get there so I can keep the conversation from getting to something negative before I get to the motel. Number two, I don't read negative stuff. The National Enquirer has no appeal to me. None. I don't care about this 3-year-old girl that had a baby that was born 4 years old. I don't care. If you don't read that garbage, go ahead. And I'm not, I'm talking about folks that's in your mind to stay. In fact, I'm worried about that girl right now. I don't read the biblical evangelist, which is other called the Fundamental Inquirer. I don't read it. No, don't ask me to read an article. I won't read it. My Bible commands me I'm not supposed to read bad reports. My Bible commands me I'm supposed to think about things that are true. God knows there's nothing true in that thing. I'm not supposed... I'm not going to put that in my mind. Not going to do it. Oftentimes people say, Brother House, you ought to read this. Well, I say, read it yourself. No, not me. I can't walk in this pulpit on top side and read negatives. I'm not going to do it. Somebody said, there's an article in there about Dr. Curtis Hudson a few years ago. Did you read it? No, didn't read it. No. I've already decided what to think about Curtis Hudson. I don't need to know what Robert Sumner thinks about Curtis Hudson. I've already decided that nothing he can say will change my mind. I like what one fellow said the other day to me. Somebody asked him, said, have you read an article about Jack Hiles? He said, no, but he said, for 40 years I've been reading Jack Hiles. I've been reading Curtis Hudson. I know what to think about him. I don't read negative articles. Why? Because I'm not supposed to think about those things. If I read them, I'll think about them. Years ago, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. wrote a book against Dr. John Rice. I never read it. Never read it. Nothing he could say that would lose my confidence in John Rice. Nothing. Well, don't you want to read the charges he made against John Rice? No, sir. I know John Rice. Didn't read it. Dr. Ron Schaefer wrote an article against little book against Dr. Rice. I never read it. Never read it. You see, I must watch it. I must watch it constantly. To what? Listen to me. Hey, listen to me. I'm preaching to you. Listen to me. Well, Brother House, don't you want to find? No, I don't want to find out. No. I'm only going to have good reports. I'm not going to think about anything else. Why? Because you need me that way. And by the way, somebody needs you that way too. Your son and daughter, you housewives, your son and daughter need to have a mother that hadn't been watching a bunch of whores on the television set in the afternoon. Watch other things are pure. Think on these things. You can't watch anything on that box about unless it's the devotional at midnight by Reverend Messamup from the local Episcopalian synagogue. You can't watch MASH and think on things that are pure. I'm simply saying your thoughts are always there. They're going to come out. In God's name, be careful what you put in your mind. Every thought's there. It's always there. Always there. You've got a child that needs a mom that's on top side. You've got a husband that needs a wife that's on top side. You've got a wife that needs a husband that's on top side. You've got a Sunday school class that needs a teacher that's on top side. You've got a school class of school pupils that need a school teacher that's on top side. In some cases, you young people have got moms and dads that need a child that's on top side and a teenager that's on top side. You will never in your life, if you practice everything that's preached from this platform, you will never in your life be helped more by what's preached than you'll be helped by heeding what has been preached from this pulpit tonight. Be careful. You're programming for eternity. Do you know why? Don't let that encourage you. I know how to... That which has been closed can also be reopened. See? You can come back from where you've been. But now, wait a minute. That's why some people grow old. And they have time to sit and think, and those old thoughts come back and back and back and back and back. And you are never going to shake the thought that you've had tonight. Never going to shake it. Let me tell you one other thing and I'll close. I don't talk on the telephone over 2 or 3 minutes at a time. And even then, I call because I need to talk to somebody about something. And when I get through talking about what I need to talk about, I hang up. I don't believe in just sitting around and talking. There's too much good needs to be done. If you just sit there and just talk, and before you know it, you're having thoughts you shouldn't have. And it's not going to hurt anybody. What I'm preaching tonight is not for myself. I'm doing fine. I'm preaching to try to help you have a life that's fruitful and not a mind that's so clogged up with thoughts that every time you think of something in the future, these negative thoughts will come back. I mentioned a while ago, since our daughter Becky has had this illness and been sick, I call her every day. Now, they've been on vacation the last week or two, and I haven't. But every day, I call her. Now, listen carefully. Here's the conversation. Hi, Puddin'. How you feel today? Well, Dad, it's been a fairly good day. Not one of the better days, not one of the worst ones. Well, Puddin', what medicine are you taking now? And she said, well, Dad, I'm taking this, I'm taking such and such. And I say, how was the day at your church yesterday? Oh, we had a good day, Dad. Family all well? Yeah. Not one single problem this church has ever had have I ever told Becky. Not one single problem that I have ever told Becky. Never. Never. We talk about things that are true and things that are pure and things that are honest and things that are just and things that are of a good report and things that are of virtue and things that are of praise. And I may say, hey, Puddin', let me tell you about a story I heard. And I told her the one other day about the advantage of having Alzheimer's disease. You can hide your own Easter eggs. And I told her that. And I told it to you the other day, too. In fact, the first and third Sunday of every month, I've told it to you. But I told it to her. That's what we talk about. Alzheimer's disease. But that's... In fact, I forget what we do talk about. But that's our conversation. If you talk on the phone long enough to have change ears, you're not right with God. That's pretty good, though. And I'm not saying you hurt me when you talk on the phone. You like that, you're hurting yourself. And I'll guarantee you, you folks that talk on the phone more than 5 minutes at a time, 90% of your talking deals with a bad report. Have you heard? That's something not true already. You don't know it's true. And it's not going to be. Have you heard that Mrs. Jones won 14 souls yesterday? No. Mm-mm. If Mrs. Jones hadn't done something bad, she won't get in your conversation. Now, I'm not criticizing you talking. I'm trying to get your thought life straightened up. If I thought like you think, you'd fire me. That's why I don't. I want to, but I can't afford it. I need the job. But if I thought like you think, you wouldn't come here tonight. You wouldn't be here this morning. I don't think like you think. You know why? Because I'm commanded not to. Now, I am not preaching tonight to you and have not preached to you to scold you so you can get your mind to thinking about what Brother Howes wants you to think about. No, I'm telling you what can make your life rich and happy and joyous from this moment forward. If you will obey Philippians 4:8, and you ought to memorize it, make it one of your scriptures, you ought to read it every day. And ask God to help you live by it every single day. You know what will happen? After a while, folks won't bring bad reports to you because you'll have the reputation that you don't listen to bad reports. And they won't. Your mind, after a while, will be inoculated against having to sift out what comes in it. Because folks get the idea, things they can talk about. You know what? I go to R.B. Willett's church every year. He meets me at the airport, a list that long. Questions about the work. Wanting help about the church, the ministry. Some Bible doctrine. We talk about it. He comes to get me at my room. He has another list. We talk about it on the way. When he comes back, he has a list for going to church, another list for coming back. And our minds are on things that are true and just and honest and pure and loving of a good report and of praise. And all across America, for example, this tape is going out all across America. And preachers will hear this tape. And when I go preach for them, they'll have a list at the airport. You rascals better have a list when I get there. They'll have a list at the airport. Come on, Treber, get a list. You wait till he hears that, huh? The truth is, he meets me at the airport every year and reserves a limousine. I'm one of these big old boogers. You've got to have hinges in the middle to turn the corner. And he has that limousine. And this driver's up there, and he and I are back in the back seat. And brother, he has plans. There's not everything he's ever built out there. I've helped him build it. He has questions about his building, questions about the lighting, questions about the seating, questions about the Sunday school, questions about his school, questions about his staff. Reckon that might be why he's got the hottest thing in California. Reckon there might be a reason for that. Huh? Oh, by the way, the fellow out east that wanted to tell me what the other pastor had done, he's gone now. He grew from about 700 to about 200 while he was there. He's gone. Oh, the other fellow out east that wanted to tell me about this pastor of the largest church in the state, he was gone within 6 months. You know why? People do not go to church to hear some negative fellow been thinking negative thoughts all week long get up and overflow his negativism. No. It's not why they go to church. I say to preachers all across America, the average layman in America gets up in the morning before daylight. Don't laugh at me. I found almost all of my Easter eggs since Easter. I'll tell you this year. The average layman gets up before daybreak to go to some factory to work, fights traffic on the freeways, below zero when he leaves, and dark when he gets to work, works in a factory all day long, hears nothing but negative reports, turns on the news and hears that the country's GNP, PTA, I'm not sure what it is. But here's it, it's going down. And he comes home that night and he hears a bad report. President Bush is a crook. Oh, my soul, he says, it's below zero and it's snow on the ground. I work in a factory and I haven't seen the daylight since last September. And gross national product is going down. Mr. Bush is a crook. All week long it's that way. Gets up the next morning, goes to work. On the news, they say, you can get AIDS now by breathing. Oh, my soul, I'm going to get AIDS if I can't stop breathing. President's a crook. Gross national product's down. Recession's going to come. Real estate's going up. Taxes going to go. Going to raise taxes. Taxes will be 102% of my income. But he says, thank God there's one place I can go. And that's church. And boy, I can't wait till Sunday morning. I walk inside that place and the preacher can tell me everything's all right and lift my soul toward God. He walks in the pulpit. He barely is alive. He staggers in. He sits down back here in the pew and some dead preacher gets up and says, folks, Armageddon is near. You know why? That little button's pushed and negative things come out. For your sake, and to obey the command of my God, I refuse to program my computer with things that will cause you to feel defeated and you walk out of here on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. For as I think in my heart, so am I. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The words of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in them day and night. How about your thought life tonight? I hope you haven't gotten the idea that I'm preaching to you tonight not to have evil thoughts. I'm not. I'm preaching to you tonight not to have thoughts of evil, even if they're not your thoughts. Don't have thoughts about evil. Our Father,